Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast.
Has the Costco or whatever big box store by you, have they limited like paper towels or toilet paper this whole time?
I haven't seen it recently. The last time I was there was a few weeks ago, and it seemed to be pretty well stocked. But again, we're seeing the news over the last few days start to, you know, slowly creep out about these shortages. So whenever that happens, you start seeing what follows is people start to hoard.
Yeah. No, they do. They start to hoard, and that's not. Stop hoarding. No one goes to the bathroom that much that you need to wipe your butt that much to get that much toilet paper. Quit it. Stop it. Right? Don't, because you're going to leave all of us with one ply, and then I'm going to have to burn down the world. So quit. I bring that up because Costco is now, it's a big thing, man. It's a thing with me. I'm really picky about like disposable linen material. Is that the best way to put it? Sure. I guess so. A paper product. Yeah. Costco's renting their own container ships to try to sidestep all of this shipping crunch because there's a shortage. Did you know, by the way, the Panda Express in my area, they had a sign in the window that said they had closed early because of labor shortage? Really? For real. Still with us. So they, at the Port of Los Angeles and Long Beach, they normally move about 40% of containers in the U.S. They have 62 ships waiting to dock, according to all the most recent satellite images. Costco CFO said on a call with analysts that the company hired 3 ships to carry goods from Asia to the U.S. and Canada. That's going to help them avoid spending the going rate of 6 times the price. So every ship has the capacity, each one, to hold between 8,000 and 1,000 containers at a time. So it's like the ultimate container store, which my husband, sidebar, thinks it's crazy that there was a store that is about getting things to put things in. I really is amazing. I love that store, though. So and this isn't just limited to Los Angeles also. And there are top retailers facing the consequences of truck and driver shortages. There's longer delay. I've noticed that. Longer delays, higher costs, all of that stuff. Shop local, everybody. This is a great time to shop local. Instead of being like, oh my gosh, they're really socking it to us. You can just show the big box that they're not as consequential as they thought and shop local. Great opportunity to do that. The situation, though, is deteriorating because FedEx has had to reroute hundreds of thousands of packages. It's a little nutty. And now everyone's worried about the supply chain crunch. The satellite images are pretty crazy. And also the size of these ships in the satellite images are also insane. That's something else. Now, a couple of these other things as related with this, because there's a number of things that seem like it might be kind of a bigger deal than you would think. So this had to do with Britain or UK. The UK apparently put their army on standby as the fuel pumps are going dry. I've seen people tweeting about, the petrol. It's the petrol. Britain is begging drivers, don't fill old water bottles with petrol at the gas stations. Don't do it. Apparently that's what's happening. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has acted on this too. He's looking to quell public fears as the panic buying left fuel pumps dry across major cities, saying the government was making preparations to ensure supply chains were ready for the run-up to Christmas. He said, we're now starting to see the situation improve. Everybody go back to business in the normal way. Quit acting like freaks. He didn't say that last part, but I did. So it's a big situation. And then I saw this one. No. Where's this other story? Okay, here's the other story I was looking at. This comes by PJ Media. Electricity shortages in China are wreaking havoc on supply chains. They're going to supplant. They're going to be a huge economic powerhouse in just maybe a few years, maybe even overtaking the U.S. But they have a major electrical problem. So their economy is slowed. I don't know if you saw their economy tanking again the other day. Caused blackouts and brownouts. Gordon Chang had a great write-up on this where he was talking about China's economy and how they really are their own worst enemy, and it's true. So they have a shortage that has really hurt their exports, which is that's their thing. Their entire economy is export-dependent, which is one of the reasons why they aren't entirely free to go off and act like a bunch of you know, nut jobs and try to blow everyone up yet. It's one of the reasons why they can't really totally go at it with Australia, even though Australia is kind of, you know, out there. They need that iron ore. They can't really go with the U.S. because one of our big protections against China is that we can't stop buying their cheap crap. Shortages of raw materials are having problems. The factories, though, that make these consumer goods that are for their exports, their big economic dependency, apparently they're suffering. And I saw this yesterday. They're already lowering growth projections. It's affecting their economy pretty harshly. There were some new numbers out for them yesterday. New York Times said that the reason that the electricity is in such short a supply in much of China is because they're communist. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms, pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
Yeah, General McKenzie admitted that ISIS-K, there was one ISIS-K facilitator that was killed in a U.S. drone strike in Afghanistan that was not directly involved in the suicide attack that killed 13 troops at the Kabul airport. They also really didn't say anything too much about the SIV that had ended up, that was ended up being, was killed along with 10 other innocents, seven of which were children. Still no word on who's resigning. Feels like somebody ought to at this point. But heaven forbid, have them be Border Patrol agents using split reins that morons in the press think are whips. And just let's see how well that goes, right? Good heavens. Also, this is actually kind of funny. I'm in this mood. This would be great. A museum says that they gave an artist $84,000 in cash because they're dumb to use in artwork. And he delivered blank canvases and titled them Take the Money and Run. Kudos to this man, a Danish artist. His name is Jens Hanning. And he gave the Knudsen Museum of Modern Art in Denmark two blank canvases in an epic, epic thing. And said that they were titled Take the Money and Run. He was asked to recreate two of his previous works in 2010's An Average Danish Annual Income and An Average Austrian Annual Income that first exhibited. And I don't care when they exhibited. I just think the whole thing is funny. He just literally gave them two blank canvases and was like, later. And they don't know what to do. They're just sort of like, well, they're in contact with him. He called. They referred to him as a well-respected and well-known artist in Denmark. I think they totally got trolled. Kudos to you, sir. Kudos. No, I don't feel bad about it at all. Let's see. Otters. What the hell's going on with them? They're mysteriously attacking people and dogs. Okay, now wait a minute. I don't care if you attack people, but dogs, leave the dogs alone. What do they do to you? CBS says that otters in Alaska and Anchorage are displaying unusual behaviors. They say that they've attacked people and pets in some of the city's most popular outdoor areas. Officials are asking people to be careful when they're around rivers, creeks, and lakes. So I don't thought, you know, previously you only had to worry about gators. Now it's otters. They said a 9-year-old boy had to be taken to an emergency room for a rabies shot because he got bit a bunch of times near a duck pond. I mean, how do you not? I go by my youngest son's rule. If it's tiny and you can kick it, what can you be? Why are you afraid? Just yeet that thing across the pond, right? Just kick it right into the atmosphere. And an Illinois man woke up with a bat clinging to his neck and died of rabies. What is up with these animals? What do they know that we don't? Why are they rioting? Stay with us. Just like, what's his face? Terry McAuliffe said that these aren't your kids. They're the government's kids. Have you heard this? I got to say, audio sound by 21. This dude, Terry McAuliffe. Listen to this.
Books, Glenn, not to be knowledge about it, also take them off the shelves. And I'm not going to let parents come into schools and actually take books out and make their own decision.
You vetoed it.
So
Yeah, our parents. You
stopped the bill that I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach. But, you know,
Oh my gosh. I'm going to have a fit. Wow. Oh my gosh. I'm going to have a fit. First off, Terry McAuliffe, who's a Democrat running for governor. The schools, our kids aren't yours. I guess he's never heard of parenthood and or taxes. Because, yeah, we absolutely do. I'm going to tell schools what they can. Oh, man. Imagine having me. Imagine being in school and having to deal with me. Oh, I'm very vocal. I do not put up with shenanigans. I am very involved and I'm very vocal. We homeschooled up to a certain point now. Oldest is in college and the youngest is in high school. And I am super involved. I know the teachers. I'm talking to people. I'm absolutely, if I got a problem with stuff, if my kids don't raise objection first, which they usually do, not that we have a lot of issues, but usually whenever there is one, it's my kid. My kids can, they can speak up and they can speak out and they can object to content, etc. And they do it quite a lot. My oldest is in college and he's going into law and he's been having a lot of fun in poli sci. It is something else. It's a joy to sit back and watch your children just go out. But with my youngest, he's the same way. My youngest is very dry and he's very, very not super animated unless he's in a smart aleck mood. He's very dry and he will just speak to you exactly like this. And he's plagued with RBF as I am. And so he'll just look straight at you into your soul and tell you you're wrong, why you're wrong, how you're wrong, and how you will always be wrong in the future. And then you start to reevaluate like everything in life and have an existential crisis. That's how he works on people. So, but this idea that, well, parents shouldn't be telling schools what they should teach. Schools don't get to tell parents what they're going to teach. Parents control the schools. I think people are forgetting the idea of how their state and local governments are structured. This is a community of parents who get together and they decide that they want to have their kids all learn here within their community. And they're going to support this endeavor with their tax dollars, which means they are the employer. And you can sit here and entertain any kind of authoritarian fantasy that you want to. But the parents are the ones who are in charge. They are in control. And any lawmaker who doesn't think that that's the case should never, ever be trusted with any elected office ever. Bottom line. Yes, parents should absolutely tell schools what they should teach. I know here in my community, when we had the big fight over CRT, and it's ongoing because we're going to have another school board race here. We have one on our hands. There were people who, because my kids went to a Christian school, they were like, well, your kids aren't even in the school. You don't get to say anything. Where do I send the invoice then for my tax dollars that I've paid all these years? Because it ain't cheap. As soon as you refund me all my money, then you can tell me that. But if you're not going to give me my money back, you can sit down and shut the heck up. I'll help you if you need help. But that's true. Never, ever, even if you don't even have any kids, even if you're single and you live in that area, your tax dollars go there. You have every right to weigh in. You go where your dollars go, folks. Don't ever buy this, well, just give us your money and stay out, line of reasoning from the left. I don't buy it, nor should you. One of the main benefits of a mortgage refinance is that it frees up cash, so you have extra money to put towards your savings, home improvements, or anything else that you need. It can make a significant impact on your future and your daily life. That's why I recommend getting a free mortgage review from American Financing, America's home for home loans. Because at American Financing, their expert mortgage consultants keep things straightforward and focused on you. It's just a simple conversation around which loan program may be a better fit. Because interest rates remain near all-time lows, and chances are you can benefit from a mortgage refinance. So why not call them to learn more? It's really a no-pressure, no-obligation experience, and you may be able to postpone two mortgage payments. Call 866-574-2500. That's 866-574-2500. Or apply online at AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing, NMLS number 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
A lot of you sent me this video about a Florida man who is trending online after he caught an alligator in a waste management trash can, according to reports and viral video. The video was shot in front of a residence as a standoff between the upset reptile and the man ensued. On Twitter, Cass Anderson said, "This is the most Florida thing I've seen in months," reacting to the capture. The man in the video, Abdul Malik, said on social media, quote, "I got kids to protect." That's pretty. It's true, though. He got kids to protect. He actually scooped it up in a giant trash can. That's amazing. And Bray, and I don't know what they did with it after. It doesn't say. It was a biggin. You are correct, Kane. It was approximately biggin size. And yeah, I'm just saying. It's pretty amazing. I can't read this one story. It has to do with a woman who did something entirely inappropriate again, but this time in front of a Popeyes. And that's all I'm going to say, because there's enough. Enough is enough. Okay, come on. That's enough. For the love. Let's see. Some of these are so bad. I don't know. What is this? Has it been a full moon for the past couple weeks? Oh my gosh. Let's see here. We got a story about a man who's, oh, man. This is actually a real thing. Okay, so this Florida man, this is so bad. They've been having a fight over this. This is over at Volcker Conspiracy. The man has a bumper sticker that says, "I eat backside," except it's a double snakes. And because it's a story that people sent to me about Florida Kane. And
I sent you stories, too.
I know, but this is from a listener, so that is more important. There you go. See, I love my listeners, Kane. I love them. And they wanted me to read this story, so I'm reading it. It says a district court is concluding that the law is unclear enough that a police officer was entitled to qualified immunity based on his arresting a man for the sticker. I cannot believe, first off, that somebody got arrested for the sticker. Is it crass? Of course it is. But is it an actionable offense? No, it's a sticker. Words are not actions. They're not violent. Speech is not. It's crazy. But they were trying to say that it was obscene. And so while it sounds silly, the point of this is that the Florida state statute, it was determined that the sticker was not obscene and it did not actually meet the Supreme Court approved definition of obscenity. So as a result, the guy can keep his preference for this particular activity revolving a backside on his car. That's can you believe that? And there's your lesson today in Florida law on obscenity.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.